Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting freedom, animal liberation, peace.
What have we made of this world? Every way, every turn, it's a battle. There's a war going on between men and
wellness for all. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Ann Heritage.
Good evening, Marlene, and good evening, listeners.
Ann is an animal rights activist and anarchist. An artist and writer. Ann is joining us from Somerset, UK. Welcome, Ann. Thank you so much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm very honored.
Hi, Marlene. I'm very honored to be asked to speak. It's lovely to talk to you and your listeners this evening.
Thank you. I would love to start out by hearing about your book that you wrote, Bramble, The Dog Who Wanted to Live Forever, The Somerset Notes.
I wrote it when a publisher approached me to write it. And I did what they asked with regard to the length and so forth. But when it came to publishing it, they wanted me to drop certain things in the book, which I wasn't willing to do. So I published it myself. But basically, from my point of view, I wrote it because I want people to understand it's very, very easy to feed dogs on a plant-based diet that will help them live longer and healthier. On the website that I admin on Facebook, a lot of people are very nervous about feeding their dogs vegan, but it's perfectly possible, and it's so much easier than you might think. So I also wanted the book to tell people the things they could put in place to increase their longevity in their dogs, and that would be stress management, organic food, lots of exercise, and then thinking about their mental health and how they perceive the world and what you can do to try and reduce stress. So from what I can understand, because I speak to a lot of people on the net and on the website and so forth, I think people have found it very useful. And it's on Kindle. It can be read from the Kindle library free, or it's on Amazon. And I know some people are not big fans of Amazon, as indeed I'm not myself. But at the same time, there are very few working class women that get published. And if you were writing around to a lot of publishers, you would probably get a lot of negative reaction, but with self-publishing, you know, you can just put things out there, and things like Amazon do facilitate that, awful though they are in many ways. So it was a bit of a dilemma what to do with it, but I think I wanted the greatest amount of people to have access to that information, basically to facilitate vegan or plant-based food for dogs. And I hope that some less animals have died because Bramble may have proved that you can keep healthy and well.
Wonderful. I'd love to hear more about both your vegan dogs, Floyd and Bramble. Bramble.
So Floyd was a bit of a doggy genius. And when I got her, I'd never looked after a dog before. And she was a very clever girl and just really a joy to be around. And so she was 20, so we had lots of time out and about enjoying our lives. But also, I was able to model Bramble's diet for her from what I'd been feeding Floyd. And Bramble came from Wales. She was initially belonged to a farmer, and for whatever reason they'd taken her to a shelter. And when we took her home the next day, there was a massive flood and all the dogs in the shelter were killed. So Bramble was she was the one that got away. And she was very stubborn a dog. And that gave her, and that's a good thing, in my opinion. She wasn't taking any nonsense in humans at all. So she did her own thing all her life, and we just tried to support what she wanted to do.
That's interesting to hear. So what were the ingredients that you made for the vegan dog food? And this is back in the 70s. Very exciting.
Yeah, so we used round textured vegetable protein, or TVP. It's just made out of soya protein. So we used that as a base and used long grain brown organic whole grain rice, organic red split lentils and organic vegetables. And I had an allotment and a garden, so I grew my own veg. So it was fresh, straight from the garden to the house. And we put other things in it, like yeast extract, because obviously they need vitamin B12. I used to add a bit of turmeric and a little bit of mint and so forth. But that was essentially their one big meal a day, and they did thrive on it. And, you know, they managed to live very long lives. My dogs lived to 19, 20, 25. So I think it's kind of, people say dogs can't be vegan because they're carnivores, but in fact they're scavengers, and they can eat pretty much anything, but unless they're getting all their vitamins and minerals, obviously they live shorter lives. So collies, for example, traditionally would live about 14 years old on the whole, but Bramble's gone to 25 and Floyd got to 20. They need to be treated properly like humans. They need a comfortable bed, they need a place they can relax, and they need decent organic food. And actually, if you feed organic home-cooked food and you keep an eye on what's in the food, then you get a better health outcome and better longevity. And that's essentially what we did for, I say we, I had a co-carer who's called Roy, who helped the dog. So there we are, we fed them that all through their lives.
Wow, that is significant. Thank you very much. Please tell me more about your awareness. Back in the 60s and 70s.
Well, I was part of the women's movement when I was younger, and there were a lot of gay women that were vegan, and I didn't know what what veganism was. And there was a newsletter out that was promoting vegan food, and I'd kind of spoken to some of the women about it, and they sent me some leaflets about dairy and the cruelty involved in the dairy industry, and also about leather, because at the time I was wearing leather Doc Martens. And so I read all this stuff and looked into it. And then, you know, there are a lot of vegetarians, I think, don't appreciate how cruel the milk industry is, which I won't go into, because a lot of vegans obviously know that already. But it sort of coincided with one day when I was having a steak before I was vegan, and it was kind of almost raw. And I thought, wow, I'm eating somebody's body. I don't know why it never clicked in before, but at that point, they were having this steak with blood on it on my plate, and I just thought, that's disgusting, and somebody's died for that. And after that, with reading this other literature from the women's movement, I decided to go vegan, and I didn't do all the baby step thing. I just went from being a very oppressive to animals in my diet to going vegan. Initially, myself and my friend had gone vegan, raw food vegan, straight from being a carnivore, and that was a bit tricky because we didn't really know what to eat. We ended up eating a lot of seeds, and he didn't have good teeth at the time, so we thought, this is not great. So we'd have to kind of go out there and find what was available, and in the 70s there weren't a great many products that were available, obviously except fruit, veg and grains, which I'd kind of gravitated towards. I don't really buy much processed food. So it was a case really of reading the recipes of the vegan cookbooks that were out there at the time. And there were things like awful recipes for vegan cheese. The vegan cheese you get now, as you know, I think people are lucky because they can go and buy all the lovely vegan cheeses that are available, which are really nice without any harm to animals. So it was quite a challenge in the 70s to eat stuff unless you just cook things yourself, basically, such as what I've always done, gravitated towards not buying processed things, because then you know what you're eating and you know what you're feeding the animals in your care.
Thank you, Anne. And I can see that you've always been a very conscientious and advanced soul to have this awareness back in the 70s and the commitment. And now, even in 2023, I admire your courage and your activism and awareness to what's going on globally. So let's talk about...
It's been a painful process.
Yeah. Please tell me more.
Well, about 6 or 7 years ago, on the net, I was speaking to a group of people which were saying things about what is actually happening now, but back then, just before it was all out in the open, if you like. And I find it really challenging to listen to, and I thought, wow, you know, this is fantasy and they don't really know what they're talking about. And it was just completely alien to me. So I'd kind of, it's over a period of years, I've been listening to people and reading things and watching things. There seems to be a consensus of opinion that now the political world is changing to go towards global governance. So it appears, from what I understand, that there is some kind of plan to make a global governance with organisations like Vanguard, BlackRock, Johns Hopkins University, World Health Organization, World Economic Forum, forming a group of many, many companies and people and above government organisations that want to essentially run the planet along different lines with a greatly reduced population. And this is being kind of acted out in a variety of ways now. So there are big changes afoot. We're all going to end up with digital identity and our whole lives are going to end up on a blockchain. We're going to get digital currency replacing money in your hand. So all your transactions will be tracked. And how this affects animals is that people are going to be kind of pushed into smart cities. And they'll achieve this by a variety of means, which they are doing now, but none of them are good for animals. One of the things that happens now is that a lot of agents and chemical agents that are not good for humans or animals are being dropped on the planet via planes. Some people call this chemtrails, other people call it geoengineering. But things like strontium, barium, coal ash, among other things, are being dropped on us, and aluminium. And this has been dropped across the planet. Of course, this is affecting animals. And I think the vegan movements, probably globally, haven't really caught up with the vast damage this is doing to wildlife and their environment yet, because we're still thinking in terms of animals that are killed for food and so forth, which we must do all the time because their death is imminent. Every day we must be thinking about this, but at the same time, vast swathes of the globe are being made uninhabitable for animals with the chemical poisons that are being dropped from planes. And where I live in Somerset, another way that animals are being kind of pushed out of the places they live is vast housing developments for lots of houses that aren't really affordable to the average person, but some people will have them as homes that they rent out to people that are commuting from bigger concerns. And we're just about to get a massive electric car battery factory built on a lot of farmland near the motorway here. It's taking up acres and acres of wildlife habitat. So from the animal point of view, you've got all this chemical poison has been dropped in the air. You know, millions and millions of animals that people aren't even aware of, I think, a lot of the time, are being killed. You know, we all know that dogs and cats and cattle are being killed, but I'm not sure people are so aware of what happens when a housing development goes up, as it is here in Somerset, and the habitat is wiped out. I've seen deer and rabbits with, you know, deer being knocked over on roads and birds being killed where their trees have been cut down, all that sort of thing. All this is going on a massive scale globally. So we've got kind of like animal holocaust going on all over the place on kind of multiple planes, really, as well as the slaughterhouses for food, and you've got all this other stuff going on. I think it would be very hard to save the working class if animals weren't being killed, and vice versa. We need equality and parity of justice. Animals are rights bearers, as we are. But it's about to get even worse now, because with digitalisation, digital identity, digital money, our enslavement is going to become complete, because the people behind all this are the billionaires. They are the tech companies, the people that are using the technology to enslave us. And we will end up with our every transaction on a blockchain, our health records on the blockchain, every single facet of our lives will on a blockchain for someone behind all that to control and see. And once digital currency is up and running globally, which it is already in some countries, then we have no way of, even if we speak out, we'll become censored. If we say the wrong thing, our access to money tokens, which will be, it won't be money in your hand, it will be tokens, will be cut off. So if the government or your local council or whomsoever wants to shut you up, they will just cut your money off, or you won't be able to buy fuel, this sort of thing. They will have complete control of us. With all the digital stuff, we're all going to be in a lot of trouble globally. All working class people will be controlled by the military industrial complex, the billionaires, the tech companies. Going back to what you were saying a little earlier to me about the 50s, although I was born in the late 50s, although things were not good in many ways in the 50s, racism, classism, sexism, all those things were pretty awful. There were other things that were much better and seem like a dream now in many ways. Like, you only needed one person in a family to work, and then, you know, say the female, it was usually, but it could have been a man, it was usually the female, had time to bring up the kids and maybe grow food and stuff like that. My mum was a political activist, but she also did construction work on her house and all sorts of things. I think people had time to be creative. But, you know, unions were much stronger then. My dad was a shop steward and a secretary of the Post Office Engineering Union, and I used to go around with him on his bike when I was young, and he would go around and collect all the subscriptions by hand for unions. So he knew where people lived, he knew their families, and people were much more connected. And if you go back a generation from that, like my grandparents' generation, my granddad was the manager of the local Labour Party, and they would organise coach trips for all the workers, and people would just go out together, and there was that real sense of community. And I think, especially in the UK now, you don't have that to the same degree. You might have interest groups that organise around certain things, but I certainly think the unions aren't as strong as they were. And, for example, a friend of mine this week, his union has got them a pay rise, but while they got them a pay rise, the management took away their paid breaks. So they're actually, although they're getting a 7% pay rise, they're actually taking that away from them, so no better off financially. And I think in the old days, they wouldn't have got away with that because people had the right to strike and organise, and you could have secondary picketing, which you can't now, because I think it's against the law in the UK.
We're listening to Ann Heritage in Somerset, UK. You tuned in to Vegan Nation. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Ann Heritage. This is Malina, Massachusetts. Thanks for tuning in.
Reporting live from Spaceship Earth to all here and beyond. Transmit a message coming through from 2021. If you're listening, I pray it's not too late for what's been done. We can still shift trajectories and train for what's to come. For the beautiful, the difficult, the rising to our pinnacles, the facing of our history and the freedom from its tentacles, the intervals of silence and the balance in between, the sifting of the fiction from the waking life and dreams. Is this 2021 or is it 1984? Is this a chapter at a brave new world, or is it something more? Is it something bigger just beyond that I can't even see? Is it triggered by the movements of awakened human beings? Cause we're headed towards a place where every move is tracked and traced. All dissension is erased. All the cameras scan your face. Here society is shaped and no crisis goes to waste. Just the perfect mix of heavy propaganda and isolation. But we're cutting through the signals, reaching through the screens. Still throwing wrenches in the gears of the machine. Trying to undo the mind control with laser light beams. But the fog is thick and nothing's what it seems. So we override the program, deconstruct the show, activate the shields on our bodies, minds, and souls. Living in a time of propaganda overload, but I'm one of those who will not be controlled. I'm not open for experiments, no puppet, not a pawn, not a tool for QAnon. Trust no plan, I make my own, concentrate my own energy, carry out my missions. Don't distract myself with all the latest controlled opposition. Keep my vision on my purpose, keep my inner circle small. I don't with all that circus noise, I focus on my call. Empires rise and fall, but our legacies remain. I know the steps of all our ancestors haven't been in vain. It's still flowing through these veins, the will to remain free. Here to demonstrate the difference between humans and machines. One of these made to be programmed, the other's meant to breathe. I give you one guess, which one of these is me? Cause we're headed towards a place where every move is tracked and traced. All dissension is erased, all the cameras scan your face. Here society is shaped and no crisis goes to waste. Just the perfect mix of heavy propaganda and isolation. Oh, we're cutting through the signals, reaching through the screens, still throwing wrenches in the gears of the machine. Trying to undo the mind control with laser light beams. But the fog is thick and nothing's what it seems. So we override the program, deconstruct the show, activate the shields on our bodies, minds, and souls. Living in a time of propaganda overload, but I'm one of those who will not be controlled. Neurotoxins in the water, heavy metals in the air, mass poison in the food supply, officials well aware. Ask the families in Flint, ask them on the reservations. Most of the politicians aren't trying to have these conversations. Like the 5G radiation, steady rolling out in stealth. By our homes and by our schools, they could care less about our health. All complicit in compliance, I'm suspicious by default. When whole populations' immune systems face daily assault from the EMFs, GMOs, toxicity overloads, ever-increasing radiation while depleting crucial soils. All the while spreading cancer, years suppressing cures. Now the same institutions want to rest us all assured that their experiments are safe and that the odds are in our favor. Ask yourself if that's a bet you're trying to wager. Not me. We're cutting through the signals, reaching through the screens, still throwing wrenches in the gears of the machine. Trying to undo the mind control with laser light beams. But the fog is thick and nothing's what it seems. So we override the program, deconstruct the show, activate the shields on our bodies, minds, and souls. Living in a time of propaganda overload, but I'm one of those who will not be controlled.
Propaganda overload by Elise Clay. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We'll continue our conversation with Ann Heritage in Somerset, UK.
And with all the digitalization, we're going to end up in a digital prison. In China, you have a social credit system. And if anyone does a bit of research on that, I think that's what's heading our way. So everything we do, as we said before, will be on the blockchain and we will be much more controlled. I think it's going to happen that we will have no personal transport vehicles, and people look into electric vehicles a bit more. They realise actually they are polluting, and they are, you know, they've basically got kids that are essentially slaves making your battery. So a lot of this stuff looks very green. Actually, it really isn't. And a lot of the New World Order and the World Economic Forum sustainability agenda, which is Agenda 2030, which is what they're enacting now, is couched in terms of sustainability. And if you really think, wow, this or that sounds good, but in fact it's a trap and we're all going to be caught in it. And also there's something about the financialization of nature. Well, they're going to be giving us carbon credits. If you exceed your carbon credit amount that year that you're supposed to have, say you bought something that costs a lot of credits or whatever, you will not be able to do something else. But when it comes down to it, it means people won't be able to travel very far, or they won't be able to travel in a private car. So people with disabilities, I mean, I don't even know how they're going to manage. And it's going to be essentially just like a digital prison. So it does sound great if you read Agenda 2030, but there are a lot of very dark things going on around that. And I would encourage people to read up on that, around those issues, especially the financialization of nature, which isn't the perfect thing it sounds. It's a very dark thing, and it's something that's happening now, basically.
Thank you, Anne. I hear what you're saying. Could you please talk about the difficulties that we as vegans face working with truthers who are hostile to animal rights and vegans?
It's very, very difficult. I've been working with truthers for a couple of years now, and there are things we have in common, and then there are things that you just think, I don't know how I'm going to get past this with you when you're talking to somebody. And also, you know, quite a lot of the truthers are quite sexist. So it's very difficult, really, to work with them. But it's very tricky, because many vegans aren't aware of these really serious issues that truthers are trying to expose. And it's really hard to get truthers to understand anything about veganism, which is massively frustrating. very frustrating to try and work with people when the situation we're in is dire. It's gone way past serious. We're literally facing our own deaths, in my opinion. Sometimes you think, with some truthers, wow, you want all this stuff for yourself. You want to be free. You don't want to be censored. You want your family to be safe. All good things. But at the same time, you would deny that to another sentient creature.
We're listening to Ian Heritage in Somerset, UK. Ian is an animal rights activist and anarchist. She's also a writer and artist.
The front line is there in your eyes. Don't do all of the things you despise, but all you can change.
Continue our conversation with Ian next week. Please join us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Much thanks to the musicians, Alace Clay, and we also heard What? No Meat. Captain Sensible and Rachel Bohr from 1985, produced by artist Jeff Francis.
And the glory is the fat and the cost is to feed all the wealthy. And you wonder why the hell there are wars, when in truth all the answers are yours, but of course you can change it.
Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation. This is Marlena Massachusetts, wishing you a peaceful, joyful, and pleasant day. Here's an announcement of a local vegan event, Worldwide Vegan Chalking Night, Friday, September 1st, 2023. The event was created by an activist in Spain and now occurs worldwide in hundreds of cities. Locally, there's an event in Central Park, Clinton, Massachusetts, 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Interested folk can contact New England Veg Fest and also Positive Change for Animals, social and volunteer group, for more information. The Worldwide Vegan Chalking Night is to promote animal liberation. Humans are animals too. And veganism, compassion, justice, love and peace. The Golden Rule. My guest, Ian Heritage, joined us via Skype from Somerset, UK. Thanks again for joining us on Vegan Nation. Much thanks to my guest, Ian Heritage, and to all the vegan animal liberation activists. Let's go out with music by Will Tuttle. This is the Calf Song. Followed by the Cow Song. Here's another local vegan event, a hangout at Nacha Mama's Vegan Cafe, Worcester, Massachusetts, Wednesday, August 30th, 2023, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.